Patili Maya was a woman who lived in a small village in Nepal. One day she noticed a loss of feeling in her feet. Next, she developed wounds that wouldn't heal, and her hands slowly became paralyzed. Eventually, she was diagnosed with leprosy and treated, but because she was late in her diagnosis, she was left with extensive nerve damage, paralyzed hands, damaged feet, and a terrible stigma of having leprosy. She was reviled and rejected by her community, and everywhere she went, people were afraid of her. When Patili would walk up the path to her village, people would hurl insults at her, they would try to block her way, and they would try to stop her from using the path. She always felt hated. When asked about her experience, she said, "People are so cruel to me. They treat me with such hostility, but I am determined to use this path to go home, and that one day, people will understand that I am a woman of value." In the gospel today, we have the story of another person who was suffering with leprosy that Jesus encounters, leprosy that impacted his physical, emotional, and social well-being in his community, just like Patili, hoping that the world that he lives in would one day understand that he too was a person of value. This leper is clearly someone who suffered during Jesus' time with this skin disease that brought with it a shunning by the people in its community, isolation, judgment, believing that was some kind of punishment from God. But deep down inside, he knew that that wasn't so. He was someone who was perceived as a second-class citizen, always being the one who has to cross the street first or walk around in public, yelling at the top of his or her lungs, declaring themselves unclean. Every single day having to worry about what people who didn't live his reality thought and how they felt just for him to survive. They were the ones with the illness, these lepers, but they had to worry about the discomfort of those connected to social power structures who weren't ill, while they suffered and struggled in silence, wondering if they could find work or receive charity, hospitality, all while having to go to see the priest every 7 days to see if they had a curable strain, hoping to be diagnosed leprosy-free. There's a loneliness in that. Can you hear that in his life? It's kind of like the song that Janis Ian wrote called At 17, with a line in the song that says, "And those of us with ravaged faces, lacking in social graces, desperately remained at home, inventing lovers on the phone." It is what this leper must have felt inside. But this day would be different than any other day. Right away, it says that he approaches Jesus. He kneels down, he begs him and says, "If you wish, you can make me clean." So there must have been something about Jesus that he was so approachable. So this leper felt comfortable that he would not be rejected by Jesus. The second thing to notice is his posture. That as he approaches Jesus, he kneels down and he begs Jesus to change his life's circumstances with the faith that Jesus could do it. How many people in our society are knelt down from their social position, begging the world to change their circumstance, trusting that we will do it? Women in our world saying to the world, "If you wish, you can make a world of gender equality, where women have equal rights, responsibilities, and opportunities like men." You know, addressing economic insecurity for women who still make 81 cents on a dollar compared to men, although there's one study that says even when they earn 98 cents to a dollar, if you take them over a 40-year career, it would still equate to a loss of wages equaling $80,000 just for being a woman. Then there are the poor women who have even less earning potential. Just this week, a poor black mother walked into Spiritus looking for help to buy formula and diapers for her babies and feed her family. She was sanctioned, she said, by DSS for not turning in a paper that was delayed by her inability to get a timely appointment with her therapist. And so she goes from food cupboard to church, waiting out those 45 days, trying to make sure that her children have something to eat and that her babies aren't screaming, not to mention trying to figure out rent and how to keep her lights on. You just know when you encounter somebody like that, that our systems aren't working. They are constantly bending people over, causing them to beg for stability. The LGBTQ folks are saying to our world, if you wish, you can make a world of sexual identity equality and safety. Kristen Walker, who's our young adult minister, is co-founder of a non-for-profit called Flower City Noir Collective. And she said it was founded as a corrective to transphobia, classism, and elitism in our community, designed to cultivate practices of self-care, accountability, radical honesty, and to provide safe space. Their mission, elevate women of color, centered the experiences of Black queer folks, in particular, filling the void for safe, Black-centered spaces in Rochester, centered around Black joy, Black love, and understanding. They provide mentoring, leadership, education, and safe living space to address housing insecurity in the LGBTQ plus and wider Rochester community. She is serving a population that our system bends over to cause them to seek safety and equality. And then we have a third group in our world who says to us, and these are people of color who are saying constantly, if you wish, you could make a world of racial justice. Recently, you know that in our community, we had a 9-year-old Black child in a mental health crisis who was pepper sprayed and handcuffed by the police, where her childhood, her humanity, her public safety was erased by one decision responding to her unwillingness to comply. Now, for the last year, I have been calling for a new policing blueprint different from the 1819 version that we have been given that is patterned after slave patrols. I was afraid that this current blueprint would work just the way it did with that child that day. Our systems are getting exactly what they are designed to do. A slave patrol policing blueprint makes no distinction between a 9-year-old child, a 42-year-old Daniel Prude lying naked on the street, or a 60-year-old Benny War, a disabled Black man who had his wheelchair flipped over at a bus stop and beaten before he was arrested for not heeding to the authority when they said so. So the thing that these folks share in common is that they are simply all wrapped in Black bodies. You see, blueprints enable you to design with the big picture in mind. So we have to ask, what's the big picture? If the big picture for this particular blueprint in 1819 is to attend to white anxiety, authority, power, control, protection of property or wealth, while having no restraints on what you can do to Black and brown bodies, which we did not in 1819, there was no thought of restraint for Black and brown bodies, then we end up where we are, regardless of age or condition of the person. So this slave patrol pattern blueprint has allowed for consistent policies, consistent laws, and permissions to be etched into it. It's designed to give us lasting inequality based on racial identity, where even the humanity of a 9-year-old child gets washed away. Unfortunately, all of these people, groups, are on their knees begging our world like this leper, but they shouldn't be. Why do they have to beg to be treated equally, to have their life circumstances changed? They shouldn't. This leper knew that it was a risk to plead his circumstances to change with an unsympathetic community, but not with Jesus, because there was something different about Jesus. Jesus had a reputation of being fair and compassionate, a risk taker, one who took on forces that harmed the human spirit and altered their life for the worst. Jesus had made other people's lives better, and even still, this leper gives Jesus an out. He thinks that he will do it, but he's not quite sure. And so he says, if you will, you can make me clean. He gives him an out. But Jesus doesn't take that out. Jesus doesn't say, let me think about that, or, you know, or let me flip through a set of consequences for myself and see what that means for me. Or he doesn't say, let me get back to you on that. He says, I do will it. I do. Jesus had a divine mandate to make the world better, just as we do. And so Jesus is clearly saying, I don't want you to keep hurting. I don't want oppression for you so that people like me can stay comfortable and feel safe knowing that your kind are under control. I don't want you to not have the good things in life that I have. Jesus says, I do will it. And so Jesus does four things in this gospel. He allows himself to be moved with love and compassion for him, which is the first step to changing a situation. And then he stretches out his hand and he touches him courageously, engaging the problem by crossing a boundary that was in place for centuries between the general public and lepers. He makes a declaration of the will to change what is, and then he takes action and heals him of his leprosy. He gives us a formula. Jesus knew that he would have to cross a boundary that was in place for centuries. Because whenever you cross a boundary, you have to stretch. We're being stretched in our world right now to cross boundaries of gender and sexual identity and racial equality. And we're going to have to stretch beyond what we know into what can be. And what better time to do that than Valentine's Day? A day we celebrate the power of love and the anniversary of Spiritus Christi. How fitting. Dr. King once said in his book, Where Do We Go From Here, Community or Chaos, that if we're going to challenge power structures and systems of oppression, he said we must do it from the platform of the power of love through the work of justice. The kind of power, he says, where it allows the principles and the experiences of human love for one another to implement the demands for justice. Where we allow the power of justice to correct everything that stands against the principles and experiences of human love. This leper's life is changed today because Jesus took four steps. These steps aren't unfamiliar to us, Spiritus. We exist as a community because we challenged the power structure that denied women's equality, that denied LGBTQ plus marriage equality, that denied communion equality. Those inequalities stood in the way of the principles and the experience of human love. And so we changed them. We allowed ourselves to be moved. We stretched ourselves beyond institutional boundaries. We declared our will for justice and we took action. We ordained women, we married LGBTQ plus couples, and we welcomed all to communion. There's an author and a speaker, Philip Yancey, who said, one day a man said to him, you wrote a book called Where Is God When It Hurts, right? Yes, he said. And the man said, well, I don't have much time to read, but can you just answer the question for me in one sentence or two? And Philip Yancey thought for a second and he said, I guess I'll have to answer that with another question, which is, where is the church when it hurts? So this leper, friends, is sent to the priest, and he's sent to the temple of faith to validate this miracle that Jesus gives him, to bear witness of what is possible when God heals what hurts, to be present when others are hurting, and to take action. And that's the good news of this gospel today. This is a day of love. This is a day of friendship. Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends. And so Jesus and this leper are calling on us today to bear witness to what is possible, to be active participants in it. And we have examples of that we can follow. The Flower City Norwalk Collective is bearing witness in the action they're taking with the LGBTQ plus community. Spark is bearing witness in the action they're taking in working to create an outdoor civil rights heritage site to tell the story of the Black freedom struggle. Through their ongoing fundraising efforts this month and their work in 14605 with Black families, the Pastors Roundtable in this community of which I am a part, we have been bearing witness in the action that we have taken in submitting a proposal for a new policing blueprint, which is part of the addendum section of the documents released last week by the mayor. And so we have lots of ways in which love is pushing its way into the world. And there are many ways that we're being called to stretch and to act for a more just world. And what better time than today, Valentine's Day, when we're figuring out our love for those in our lives and now for those around us looking for change.